I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. My point of view of me, the Lord's servant. It isn't a matter of what I've done or what I will do. It's who I am. That's how I see myself. The Lord's servant. And it's likely why I was chosen.
In the fast-paced and often distracting modern world, it can be tempting to pursue a multitude of interests and relationships. However, servants of God prioritize following Him above all else and worshiping Him alone.
As the mother of Jesus, I'm one of the best-known people in the Bible. But almost all of my quoted words are in one chapter, Luke's book. Chapter 1, where you find me saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Not long after I say that, I'm with my cousin Elizabeth glorifying God. Those words, my words, are referred to as the Magnificat and will become one of the oldest Christian hymns. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. I'm small, tiny, not much in comparison to God. As His servant, I'm humble. He is magnificent. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Oh. Every time I even think of the first few words of that song sung eternally by creatures of heaven to God, you are worthy. Our Lord and God. Worthy. Worth-y. Worthy means of high worth, and in this case, of infinite worth. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power by His very nature because of who He is. God warrants glory and honor and power. Glorifying God simply means to recognize who He is, to recognize His worthiness, worthiness. And there's so many ways we can do this. Sing His praises. Pray to Him. Spend time with Him. Talk about Him to others. Every baby is special, but my Jesus. Special beyond comparison from the moment of His birth. Incredible lessons of worshiping God. Joseph and I and our new baby. It was I held that little bundle so close. We looked out at the night sky, and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. Because of His birth, the birth of the Savior of the world, my baby. Wow. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace and good will to all mankind. The angels were worshiping, praising God. Minutes later, well, at least it seemed, the shepherds came to us. Well, came to Him, really. Their eyes, wild with excitement, peering at the newborn lying in the hay in a feeding trough. They left us worshiping and glorifying God. They spread the word to everyone who would listen about Jesus, the angels, all they'd seen and heard. 8 days later, we took Jesus to the temple to be consecrated to the Lord as our firstborn. We entered. A man, an elderly man, met us. So gentle. He took Jesus into his arms and began to worship God. His entire life, he had waited for this day. A moment later, this very old woman, a widow for most of her life, spent her days and nights in the temple, fasting, praying. She never left. A prophetess. She walks over to us and prophesies to all the people who were there, who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. He was barely a week old. His newborn skin just flawless against their aged, wrinkled, creased from decades of waiting and praying. Oh, it's a lot to take in. Holy moments, but so every day at the same time. We were in awe at the reactions our baby inspired, but the best was yet to come. I'm a village girl. And here we were in a house in Bethlehem, and there was this huge commotion, men's voices and bells, camel's bells, lots of activity. This entourage of wealthy foreigners arrived to see us. Well, not us. Odd accents as they spoke, so exotic and dressed so opulently. The moment they saw Jesus, they collapsed to their knees, bowed so low, and worshiped him. They left gifts, like worth a fortune, gold, myrrh, and frankincense, and rest assured, this wasn't about us. Worshiping God and him only. Joseph and I got a crash course. You were not to have any gods before God, and you are not to bow down or worship other gods. The first two of the Ten Commandments. The most important way to worship God is to not worship any other gods. And I'm not just talking about idols made of wood or gold. I'm talking about anything you put undue importance on. So what captures your attention? What do you turn to time and time again? It's tempting to leave this a rhetorical question, but I implore you, examine your own heart. Is it fame or money or power, entertainment, a hobby, what you look like or what you wish you looked like? Distractions of all kinds. Do not be lured away. Nothing and no one compares to the Lord our God. Beware. Sometimes idols and other gods come in the most ironic ways. In my time, we had a very influential religious group of Jews. They were called the Pharisees, experts in God's law. They were strict. So strict that they made up laws to protect themselves from breaking other laws. It got to the point where they worshiped God's law instead of worshiping God. Think about that. My son had quite a time trying to get them to recognize the errors of their ways. Jesus had a remarkable way of getting to the heart of a matter. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart also is. So if you want to know what you really worship, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your money, your thoughts? It stings a bit, examining your life. And many of us want to have it both ways. We want to serve God, but we also want to satisfy our own wants. It just doesn't work that way. Jesus makes it clear. I can practically hear his voice. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and anything else. You cannot have it both ways. Either you're serving God and him only, or you're worshiping something else. And what else are you likely to be worshiping? If you aren't worshiping God, you're most likely going to worship yourself. That's really the choice. Will you worship God and serve him only, or will you worship and serve yourself? The first choice leads to life. The second does not. I was never so proud of my son as when I heard of his response to Satan when being tempted in the wilderness. He used scripture in his responses to Satan three times. And the last response to the last temptation, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Be a servant of the Lord. Worship him and him only.